Hello and welcome to another edition of the Passaggios podcast. Yay. Joining me this week on my left is
Dom Stewart.
Right, I did say speak loudly, but whatever. That was Dominic Stewart for all our...
That was more like Dom Dot Stewart.
Yeah, that definitely
Dom
was.
Dot
yeah.
Gary Lineker.
On his left,
Alex Granger,
and
Eugene Dylan Hooper.
Eugene Dylan Hooper, welcome to the panel, guys.
Squeeze through.
Okay, so
Dom can be the silent producer. Dom is a
silent producer. Dom, like now he's got this job.
Every podcast always has a silent producer.
Yeah,
I just did a hand.
Yeah, can we not mention
like,
jobs or personal?
I forget that you can't see hand gestures.
Well,
we don't have the webcam.
At least I'm an ex-member of the panel.
I don't get it. Are you still? Have you not? Are
I'm
you
an
not?
Ex-member of the panel? An ex.
Great, fantastic. Clearly just lay the boundaries down and Dom's already been a wanker. Right, so let's get on with it.
Oh, fuck me.
So, welcome to the podcast.
No, that's staying in. That's
no, it's not staying in. That's not staying in.
No, that's hilarious. Mate, come on,
Who's staying in goal now? Sorry, stay... What?
let's have a little brief history. So, pretty much through the season, it's been a... We haven't done a podcast.
Okay.
No, well, okay, is, so should we, well, I'll quickly give a quick review of the results this season. So, our first match against, I have no idea who, was it Unreal Madrid?
I don't know who we've been playing all year apart from Mason Mills.
Basically, so we've got our final game of the season coming up this coming Sunday. And
Sunday!
But in our first week of Ligue 1, our first time in Ligue 1, we won our first game, so we were pretty.
Yeah,
we were pretty excited.
We were
about
pretty,
that.
Weren't we?
We were pretty excited.
That was the
you had a nice
that
haircut
was the
back
momentum
then.
Of the new season and the new league.
Yeah.
Every team does that.
Yeah,
has been promoted,
I think
trying to get off on the good foot.
Oh, well, look at Leicester City this year. Went off.
Classic.
Went off
I knew. Get Leicester in there somehow.
went off on the front foot.
Beat Man United.
5-3. Went off on the front foot and now they're shit. So. And like their manager is strangling people, so that's just a bit intense.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd do that.
Just like our manager.
Yeah. Anyway,
probably done that.
Nevertheless, so we won our first game, and then we lost the second, and then went to draw the next three. So we were the draw specialist for a while.
Mm. Then we were lost.
Lost
then
a couple.
And then we lost a couple, and then
three
last
or three,
week.
I think.
No, we. Oh, maybe it was three. Was it three or two?
Maybe we got an automatic win in there, though.
Mm. No, you're right. Yeah, no, sorry. We lost three in a row.
As you can see, we really do our homework before we start these podcasts.
We lost three in a row, and then last week...
We got a win.
We got a win.
7-0.
7-0. Fantastic result. Dom, do you want to tell us who got man of the match? And I suppose the manager should, actually, and why he gave it to the person.
Well, the man of the match was a new member of the team, who we've been trying to get in for a while, Graham McCusker.
Yeah.
We had some trouble getting his... what's the word? International clearance.
Yeah. He was struggling to get a work permit.
He used to play for the Falls
Being
Echoes,
Scottish.
Who were our rivals before they folded.
They're our rivals, and then they disbanded, unfortunately, which is a shame.
It's a shame.
Jefferson High is our rival.
And disbanded without ever beating us, which is another shame for them.
Yeah,
maybe they'll come back
and
try and get some dignity
back.
They did
manage a draw.
Oh yeah, they did.
Although, they drew.
Yeah,
we
didn't have
Ash. We played three games before, I think.
Yeah, that was about our third game.
And they got a lucky goal at the start and then just defended.
Yeah.
You know, which is... Still, they did well. But anyway, he played really well in goal. We left him a little bit exposed at times, I think. Although the 7-0 was slightly flattered us. Their keeper wasn't very good. We were clinical when we had our chances. And there's a few times we were left 3-on-2 at the back. But Graham stepped in well. You know, he was the difference, because if it had let a few of them shots go in early, then
our
momentum would have been hit back.
Yeah, definitely.
That is what we've missed since Joe left.
I think we had a period in the sort of the middle 6 minutes of the second half where I think we scored about three or four goals, like one after the other.
Mm. It was good.
It was
2-0 at half time, wasn't it? Two goals.
It was 2-0 at
half time,
and we scored five in the second half. They just seemed to. Every chance we had. Put it in the back of the net, really.
We started to hit them on the break, which I think, you know, if we keep this system
I think,
going,
I think their heads started
more
to drop after the third or the fourth goal, and the rest came.
Yeah.
The rest came fairly easily, and they, I mean.
And who's got the goals?
Ash got four.
Yeah, Ash got four. Nathan.
I got one.
Nathan got one.
Nice.
Dom got one.
John got one.
And John got one.
Yeah.
So
Eugene had one offside. Well, he was in the box, wasn't he?
Yeah, so a disallowed goal.
Disallowed goal.
It was classic.
Which you appeal?
What do you want about?
No, the goal, when I took the shot that went in, I wasn't in the box.
You were.
I wasn't.
You were.
Classic.
Everyone saw it.
Everyone also saw Eugene's incredible dive. Do you want to talk us through that, son? And what happened in your head?
Well, I was getting on goal, and there was a man breathing down my neck.
Oh,
spicy so to say that, son.
Must have been quite difficult to run with a boner, Eugene.
I felt a bit of contact, and then about 2 seconds later, I realised that the ball was going to drift into the box, and I just leapt into the ground.
It really was fantastic.
I thought there was going to be more contact, and there wasn't, and I ended up looking like a fool.
It was absolutely hilarious.
I had to laugh it off.
Yeah, it was really well. So did everyone else. It was great. One thing then the other team apparently said, people overheard, was that they thought definitely our goalkeeper was the difference in the first half, especially. That was keeping the thing at 2-0.
I think they've got rose-tinted glasses saying that they weren't in the game. To be honest,
yeah. I wouldn't agree. I'd say maybe rotating keeper, they could have scored 3 goals.
They never looked like they were going to win that game, really.
No,
yeah.
If we were really bad in goals.
And I think the difference of us having 7 was we tracked back pretty much all game.
Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't give him much space.
It was certainly there was new tactics. It was more thought out. The intensity was back this week and. It was back to the Agio way that we saw last year when we had the likes of Joe Fryer in net.
Yeah, I think we missed it.
Yeah, I think we've turned the corner. I mean, I don't think it should have been as much as a changer from previous weeks. I think we probably... The previous 6 games to this one, I don't think we've did ourselves justice.
No.
But let's just build from where we are.
I don't think we've been as fit this year, generally.
No,
I think.
Not.
I mean, last year though we were constantly going down to Carrington training, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. We were taking it really intensely. We were doing the podcast week in, week out. We were talking about tactics. We knew the teams we were playing because we played them. You know, we've been playing them for a couple of years, so we knew some of the teams quite well. We knew how to play them. This year, you know, all new teams, never played them before. We weren't training as much.
And
the more intense.
A-League's a massive step up.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no doubt.
We were generally playing one week a game, or most of us were. Some of us were playing 2 with Wednesday night football, but not everyone.
Yeah.
And I think fitness has gone downhill. Because from last year when we've been playing generally with 6 or 7 players every week, so there was always subs. We've played a lot of the games this season with just 5.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
I think it's proved that, you know, towards the end of the second half, even if you don't feel mentally like you're not working as hard physically, your body's just not allowing you to run as much as you'd like to be.
Let's not forget we've been conceding early goals.
Yeah,
that's been our thing.
What was it, the game before last week? We conceded 4 goals in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I had an absolute mare goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we really improved in
that. Chocolate wrists over there.
Literally. You've been racist again. No, it was. I think this rotation system of having 2 subs worked well because we kept a balance in attack and defence. Like, we didn't ever have like our 2 best centre backs off the pitch at once, Dom and Alex. We didn't have Ash and John off the pitch at the same time. Like, and so really, I felt that really helped. We just constantly found a balance in.
Yeah, I think both Alex and I came up with tactics, and actually, as it turned out, they worked out to be almost exactly the same. The only difference was it had me off the pitch in the first 6 and Ash on the pitch. And Alex's reasoning for that was that he felt that Ash gets quite a few early goals, and he showed that by getting 1 in the first couple of minutes.
Two
in the first 6. So.
Oh, is that when the goals came?
Yeah, right in the first 6. We pressed them high, and I mean that's the other thing
we've
adopted more of a high line in the last couple of weeks, and it works really well this week.
We're holding Grimwich halfway line.
Yeah,
that does sort of happen naturally, though, when you start to feel more comfortable on the ball.
My other point for having 7 and having 2 people off the pitch is that it allows those 2 people off the pitch to discuss tactics and to think, what do we need to do? And it allows you to, you know, have an extra pair of eyes shouting from the sidelines, like a manager, saying, be here, get there, you know, watch your left shoulder, you know, that kind of thing. And it keeps keeps the team in, he can keep the shape from the sideline.
We were talking a lot.
And that's another advantage of having Graham.
Graham had a great eye for the game, didn't he?
Fantastic, you know, saying to, he started to become more vocal, actually, I find, as the game went on, you know, as he got to know us more as a team rather than just.
Yeah, he realised where we were, he realised our weaknesses by the second half, he realised our strengths, and he played them. And his distribution, which has at times, for the Etos in the past, not been the greatest of his strengths, but I felt on Sunday it was pretty good.
I wouldn't fancy distributing to the Etos. Four men out of breath.
One thing,
it worked well for us.
Well, what do you fancy Graham's chances of keeping Adam Smith out of the team, Gaffer? Seeing as Adam Smith has missed the last few games. Well, like,
I mean, he's made three appearances this season.
He's doing well to keep his place.
I'll always stand by the Adjo's policy. You know, if he wants the game, then I don't know someone would have to miss out.
I think that person should be Eugene. Oh, shit, yeah. So,
I think we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I think the actual chance of us seven on the crew being free and Graham is probably pretty slim. I don't think we're going to have to come to the problem.
In terms of, like, last season...
It hasn't really. Considering we've had most games this season having five people, I think if there's ever a week... There might be one week out of them all where there's eight. And it's
last
eight.
Year, when we were in third year of college, there was only, I think, one game where we had eight people. And there was a few games when we could have had eight people, but for all those other games, it was only ever that. So we're all quite busy. So we're all...
And we're more busy this year.
So. Yeah, especially being within fourth year. And Ash's last year of uni. So we're constantly got stuff on. Yeah.
What's he doing?
Well, Ash, he's always in.
Is he staying? in Manchester?
Yeah, he's staying in Manchester. So we're he's injury prone.
There was injury doubts over Ash Bellis this week. And
he was only 75% chance of playing.
75% chance of playing, and he did play, and he netted four goals. So I mean, you know,
if you can play like that when he's injured.
It was a bold decision of the manager letting him play, starting him as well. So, you know, that was obviously paid off.
Any other talking points of the game?
Do we think that next week, if we've got the same set of players, are we going to adopt exactly the same set of substitutes
and off?
Are we just going to keep it the same? Is it?
I think
want to disturb a winning formula.
No.
Well, Adam might well be free next week. He's not going to be working another... Oh, no, he won't be, actually. It's Valentine's Day.
Right.
Oh, is he going to London?
Valentine's Day is Saturday.
So Rosanna will be here.
He'll be busy. Well, that's a shame. But with the original team, with the same team we have...
Well, my girlfriend will be here, but she'll be hopefully on the sidelines supporting. And, you know, every lad is twice as good when his girlfriend's on the sidelines, let's be honest.
Well, less, any more talking points about the game, then?
I think the passing was really good in the game. Like there was a
quick,
there was a goal where it was huge to you. Also Alex's long shot which hits the crossbar, like
two long shots,
outrageous. Like literally, that's probably my highlight of the game.
I thought that was literally going over.
Yeah, well, he put the dip on it. He fooled the keeper.
The keeper didn't move. Yeah, so I was begging for that ball at my feet, and then you hit it, and I was like, oh, for fuck! And then it hit the bar.
To talk through that shot and why I did it, actually.
You
agree? I had the ball at the back. And the three lads in front of me making him run forward, but there was no obvious pass off. So then it made most statistical sense to shoot. Because a better keeper would have probably got a hand on that and a rebound could have happened.
Yeah.
So that's why I shot. I didn't shoot for any kind of personal glory.
Bullshit. I would like to say, actually, that I feel like against a better team, we might well have been punished.
Yeah.
A few of our, you know, a lot of our attacking position, we were holding a very high line. And we've got to be careful about that because we did give them a bit of time on the ball.
A few times they were one-on-one,
They should have scored.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I agree with that.
So let's not kind of get complacent.
Yeah, I think.
Because a better team could have had quite a few goals against us.
Well, there was,
they had a lot of shots which were wide.
Especially without Graham. And we're not going to have Graham every week. I mean, he's not going to be free every week, is he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good point. Like we, there was a few times I noticed especially when we started to win by a bit. Everyone seemed to, because what we were doing well is when Graham had the ball, we were pushing up, so we weren't getting trapped in our own corner. But then, occasionally I noticed when I was on the sideline, especially, a winger would go up in the corner and the other winger would go across the corner, and then we'd have another striker right in the middle, and there would only really be one person at the back, which is fine, but I think they were pressing high as well. So.
I think the wingers have to take responsibility to see, say, if someone's on their wing, can they get back and defend? You know, I think that's the question. And, you know, if you're a striker, can you get pressure on that guy if you don't get the ball?
Definitely.
But you remember when we played the student soccer guys and we got rinsed, like how they played? They held such a high line against us because they always made sure that if we knocked a long ball up, they'd be back in time.
I remember, in time
for us to control it.
On Sunday, there was the guy in the green shirt.
Yeah.
At one point, he was sat left, so where I was marking, so the left wing. He was sat right up in our half, in the corner. And I wasn't sure, because I wanted to hold the high line, but because he was sat there, it gave me no choice but to sit back.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to think,
because
if
they played a ball over the top, if he gets the ball there, he's in a bad position. But if somebody passes the ball and he gets it and he puts a pass into the edge of the box and no one else is covering the run, then
the thing is, as soon as they get the ball and you see them looking for that ball, you can start running back.
Yeah. And also, he's in there in the corner, but he's got no one up with him. So even if he gets the ball there, all he can do is cut and shoot, and he's going to have to come a long way. I think the best person...
Not take 2 seconds for him to cut in. Well, control the ball, take a couple of touches and shoot. You'll be back by then.
The best example to take from this, I think, is John. What John does, amazing one, I pointed this out to you, Jim, when we were off together, is he knows they're in the corner, but he kind of closes the angle down. And you know, 4 or 5 times, pretty much every game, they'll try and play a ball to him because you think the space is free, and he has the pace just to get across and nick it in or head it out or something.
But you know, if we've got subs, we can afford to sprint.
We can risk, in some ways, let them have the space because then they're not there to defend. So it is a balance.
It'll give us more attacking flexibility, and then if they do get the ball back,
you've got to follow your instincts on this. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah, but I think one thing that we really don't want is having defenders stuck back in no man's land and just kind of not really doing anything because you're not on a man and you're not kind
of... I certainly felt we had a huge amount more space. I mean, I was able to go on a couple of runs that I hadn't been able to do for quite a while, which I felt at one point with the Adjers, one of my strong points was that I was able to, had a bit of space to run, and then even in five-a-side where you don't have a huge amount of space just because this pitch is small, but I felt that space was back again this week. And I don't know whether that's because we played better or whether because we had more energy, more subs, or whether because we were playing a bad team. It's probably a mixture of all three.
Definitely.
You know, we need to be able to find that space against the better teams because they were bottom of the league. We drew against them last time, which is technically for us, it was a bad result the last time we played them. And that, you know, it kind of sparked a bad run of results, really. I just think, you know, if we can find that space and that movement over and over again, you know, we'll be good.
Yeah. Just for the tape, Ash Bellis entering the room.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, lads. Hope you didn't say anything too mean. Anyway. Just got with us now an extra guest, Ash Bellis. Do you want to say here, son? You're nearer the thing. Ash
just arrived from a training session down in London. His train was late, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. We've just been talking about the game and.
Do you have any thoughts? Let's listen to
Ash's.
Let's get you.
Yeah, come on, like speak. Say something. Dance monkey. So,
what do you think of the game?
I thought it was really good. Played. Very, very good, in fact. Still little things like quicker passing, which still needs to come off, but I think such an improvement. And defensively, we're amazing. Like, we just didn't dive in and we held them up and they just got frustrated and ended up in the corners or taking long shots.
Yeah, actually, they did take a lot of long shots.
And that's where Graham comes into play because, with the long shots, like, 9 out of 10 times, if not a higher percentage, he's not going to let them in.
Yeah, like
whereas with
9.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Nathan Bellison goal, everything's a goal. So.
Fuck off!
the first 6 minutes?
If they hadn't got past the shitty defence.
But you know that's where Graham comes into play, and that's where, rather than you know,
fuck you.
Rather than having a defence which is sort of a bit nervous because the goalkeeper behind them isn't necessarily you know, top quality goalkeeper.
Like
Fuck off!
The defence is, you know, it's panicking, trying to put in tackles, trying to get the ball. Whereas, you know, knowing that we can just stand them off, and if they just get a shit shot away, it's unlikely to go in because the goalkeeper's going to be there to stop it. And, you know, clean up any balls which do happen to get through, you know, even if with, you know, less intent than.
Did you get bored saying that sentence?
I was like, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's like, it was my Nigel Pearson moment. And yes.
Well,
William Burris.
He knows what happened.
I think the lads, they're doing really well at the moment. And
right. Okay, back to the point.
That's not Nigel Pearson talk. And then he started to speak.
Yes. Anyway, so. I think we'll call it a day at the moment. That's a good 20 to 22 minutes for the podcast. Yeah. That's a good amount of time. Probably a lot of it's going to be cut out because we went off the topic a little bit. Ended up talking about stuff we specifically said we weren't going to talk about.
Nah, keep it in. Let it be organic. I was hoping your phone would ring. I just called Eugene.
Yeah, classic Eugene. But classic. Let me just take this call.
You're the one that took a phone call.
It was him. Anyway.
I don't care.
So next week, who have we got next week, son?
What, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, the team.
Yeah,
I'll find out.
It's not Exeter.
We played Exeter gently this week.
Nice.
Brilliant.
It doesn't matter who it is, we know we'll play our game. And I think the way we played, we could beat anyone.
Obviously. Definitely, we played really, really well.
It's not going to be as easy, but.
And it says something when was it four people scored? So, it's, you know, we're creating opportunities for everyone, and everyone's beginning to put it away.
We would have scored miles more. We hit the post and like.
Yeah, I hit the post from the bar five times. You hit the post. You hit the post.
You hit the bar twice.
Ash probably could have had about four more. And yeah. You know.
Another day we would have.
John got a few that were like there was one where he did like some insane one of his insane turns and then like just went like past the post, didn't he?
Yeah.
Classic John turn.
Yeah,
he set up the first goal really well because he didn't dive in and he just held it up and the guy ended up like trying to run through him and he just held him up and it bounced off and it just fell to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what worked really well this week.
This coming week on the 15th, we have got BA Economics.
Ah. Are they in the league?
They are just below us.
They did what to us?
Fifth.
Right. So we
anyone hear that? Dom doing it's like I'm too old for this humor.
Yeah. Well, come on, this has been a slow last few minutes. all our listeners are going
to
be bored.
Can I just say that fucking Grandpa Dom here was like, I don't want to do the podcast. Like, we already have three people. That's enough. That's the magic number.
What was the word you used in context of football today? I remember what the word.
Floundering around. Classic Dom.
Floundering mid-table, actually.
Yeah. All right, so this has been another Agios
marooned
podcast.
In mid-table. They said on seasons. I mean, on Ultimate Team.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Anyway, we're going
to. Not to me, obviously.
Okay, I'm trying to end this thing. All right, so this has been another Agios podcast, the first of 2015.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're in February. But but yeah, anyway, we'll see you next week. Have a nice week. Ta-ta. Goodbye.